Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. We are excited to be here today. I tell you, boy, trips can really mess with you sometimes. I was so messed up, I didn't even know today was Sunday. I didn't know yesterday was Saturday. My days was all messed up. I'm telling no lie. My days was all messed up. I had to ask, boy, what was it? I said, yes, and I said, is today Sunday or Friday? She said, it's Friday, Sunday. I said, man. So I said, because Evangelist Campbell had sent me the message for yesterday a long time. But then I didn't see her come on the line. But good thing I had programmed for a message for yesterday. I said, Lord Jesus, I didn't recognize that how far away I was. But Lord got a word out there yesterday that he wanted to put on the line. And today we are excited and we're delighted that the Lord has granted us one more day in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you and praise you and we glorify your name. We honor you this morning. And thank you for Apostle and Bishop, Brother Deacon. Lord, I didn't know yesterday how the day was messed up. But, Lord, it wouldn't mess up for me, to you. You had it all together. So you got it all together. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you brought us into a new day, a day that we have never seen before, a day that we will never, ever see again. Oh, God, we ask that you touch everyone under the sounding of my voice, Lord. Lord and Father, we can't thank you enough for what a wonderful, amazing time that you have given us in Louisiana with our brothers and sisters. Oh, God, we had such a great time just enjoying you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. And Father, we ask that this morning, as I speak this message this morning, talking about when unbelief joins hands with evil, hear this message. When unbelief joins hands with evil, now you know you got a problem. My God, when you have unbelieving people joining hands or getting together with others that are evil, you have problems. You really have problems. You got folk that are doing things today in the world, and they say that the greatest target now is a Christian or a believer. Yeah, it's the greatest target to the world because they are coming against everything that the believer stands for. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus, and sure enough, don't tell them anything about the Holy Ghost. They don't know. They ask you, what is the Holy Ghost? They tell, what's the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Apostle. I hear you in the background. Hallelujah. I just found out something for you, too, so I'll tell you about it. Another herb that is so powerful, I'm going to start using it for myself, too. I used to drink it, but I didn't realize it was so powerful. Hallelujah. But I tell you something. This word the Lord gave us this morning is a good word, great word. We want to go to Hosea. Let us go over there by Brother Jose. We want to look at Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And see what the Lord is saying to us. He's talking about the unbelief of the people and the evilness of the people's hearts. Understand that you look around the United States, and don't only just say the United States, because, you know, but we have to talk about the United States because this is where we reside. This is where we live. You know, you got to start at home first. A lot of people got a thing of pointing a finger at everybody, whatever going on in somebody's home. They don't get along with their wife. The children don't get along. The children is raggedy. They dress raggedy. They talk bad. They don't have no manners, but they don't check their own grandchildren, their own children, their own husband, their own wife. They don't look at this system, brother. We got to start home first. We want to point, every time something going on, we point fingers at Africa. We point fingers at India. We point fingers at Brazil and the Caribbean. But what about America? Let's start here first. Let's start with the wickedness that right here in this country, the wickedness, how they treat the poor, how they treat the homeless, how they treat the vets, the people that goes all over the world, went all over the world and fight for this country so that we can walk in some sort of freedom. We don't have the freedom that we want, but we have more freedom here than most countries have, believe it or not. We have more freedom here than most countries have. And we have that because we had men and women that left their family members, their husband, their wives, their children, their parents, and went overseas to fight for this country. And now they come back to this country, and they find themselves in dire straits, living under living in a soapbox, living underneath a bridge, living in an abandoned car. You understand what I'm saying? We got to start here first. We can't keep pointing fingers at the whole world when we are all jacked up. Yeah, I don't understand why he like that. I don't understand why she like that. Well, what about you? What about me? What about us? So here in this book of Hosea, we're going to do 19 verses. There's 19 verses here. And the Bible says the Lord, this is a controversy, messes the Lord has with Israel. Israel was God and is God's chosen people. And from what I understand and what I read in the Bible, that they are people just like you and I. They were dark-skinned people. And I sometimes worry and wonder why we are still stiff-necked, why we are still hard-hearted, why we can't get along with nobody, why we always have a problem with our brother or sister. Well, we got that thing from in the Garden of Eden. We got it from our father and mother in the Garden of Eden. We're still hard to get along with. The Bible says that here, he began to talk to the prophet. And he said, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because they are no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. God has a problem with them. Why does God have a problem with the people that he chose to deliver out of Egypt? The people had turned their backs on God. Hallelujah. Just like America, we say that we're supposed to be a Christian nation. Well, we got a lot more Christians here than some other nations. But now the majority of the people are turning to witchcraft and juju and hoodoo and all type of stuff that don't look like God. They're piercing their nose, piercing their ears, piercing their eyes. Don't even worry if that little piece of metal going to scratch the eyes. And then they lose their eyesight. I mean, that's crazy. Putting a pin inside the navel. They don't know if it's going to get contaminated and cause them a great infection. They take their nipples and they put pins inside them. I mean, pins. They got the man boring their nipples and sticking pins through. I mean, stupid stuff. Because they don't want nothing that look like God. They don't want anything that look like God. They have turned themselves. The Bible says that this Israel has gone a whoring against God. You say, well, what are they doing? They see more men and women? No, they are worshiping other idols. And God called it whoring because they are spending more time with some type of statue, some type of idol made from wood or stone or something, dirt or something. But they are worshiping it like it's a god. Book of Revelation say that they're worshiping idols that can't walk and can't talk. Hallelujah. And we find this going on today. It's right before us. He says here, it's in verse 2, says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touching blood. Listen to what the God is saying. God is giving this message to the prophet to go and speak to the children of Israel. Remember what he said, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. God is speaking to the ones that are supposed to know him. Hallelujah. And don't think we're going to get away. Those of us that know him or profess that we know him, that we have a relationship with him, don't think that we're going to get away when we go back up in the world doing the foolish stuff that he brought us from. We're not going to get away, because right, we all say that stuff. When you know better, you do better.
Amen.
But you have folk going in there. They're going in the house of the Lord. I like to say the house of man. They're going to the house of man, and they preach the gospel. And right in the house of man, they go in the office and having sex with little boys and little girls and the same sex and all that kind of stuff. They close the door. They say, well, nobody can't get in the door. I'm the only one got keys to this office. That's what they say. But they forget who's already in the office. He don't need a key to get in the office. He come right through the wall. God don't need no key, and Satan don't need no key. They come right through the wall. He can come in the office to tempt you. He the first one to get in there. He come in there to tempt you, and God come in there examining you, looking at you, because he see that we are doing things that are contrary. Folk don't realize this. Well, we can do this. Oh, Bishop, we can do this. Because we at the hotel by ourselves. Nobody know what's going on. We at the Motel 6. We at all the Inn. We at the Marriott. Nobody know what we are. We can do this. Bishop, we can do this. We ain't had a good time for a long time. Let's let our hair down, Bishop. Let's have a drink. Let's smoke some weed. Oh, man, let's have some sex. Man, you look so good, Bishop. Apostle, you look so good. It's a devil. That old devil. That's why I said, I won't stop telling you. They said, well, you saying, Apostle? You got to tell that old devil, shut up. You got to tell him. People are going to look at you. They want to know why you're shouting at some devil that they can't see. But you can hear him. Guess what? Because he's speaking in your mind. He's speaking in my mind. He's speaking in your mind. We got to say, shut up. Somebody look at, what are you talking about, Apostle? Don't worry about it. Tell him just, don't worry about it. Just tell him like that. Don't worry about it. Tell him, shut up. Tell him, shut up. And guess what? You'll realize that something's going to happen because he realized he has no power. He has no authority. He has no dominion over your mind. That's where he's coming. People think that he's coming down the street with a nice red three-piece suit with some hoops and horns. No, he's smart. He's coming as a spirit, just like God. They're both spirit. God is a spirit and Satan is a spirit. And they both need a body to work through. God want to work through your body. Satan want to work through your body. You want to work through my body too. That's why he keep trying to put a thought up there in our minds. But we got to cast down those thoughts in imagination. Now let's go. Let's work this thing here. Verse 3 says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yeah. The fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Now, I was looking at a picture a couple months ago, and it was somewhere, I think it was somewhere in Florida, somewhere down Florida, and they were saying that all of these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fish just washed upon the beach. They don't know what happened. Then another month there was whales, a lot of whales, dead whales washed upon the street. The Bible revealed itself. It's saying the fish will be taken away. All of this stuff is happening because of what? Because unbelief joins to evil. It joins in hand to evil. They're held in hand in hand, evil and unbelief. That's why you can have people get up and they will go down the street and you will walk and go to the quick carryout store. You go to get some coffee, go get some donut or something, whatever you like. Early in the morning or late in the evening. And all of a sudden somebody will run up on you and want to rape you, want to hurt you, want to break your hand, break your legs, bust your jawbone. Why? Because unbelief and evil are walking hand in hand. They have joined hands together. They just hate you because you say you're a Christian. They don't want no part of you, but they'll hurt you, try to hurt you, scratch your car, cut your tires, do all types of evil to you because you proclaim that you are son or daughter of Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Hosea said, yet let no man strive nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priests. You see, the folk are fussing with each other. Listen to me, people. They're fussing with each other. You know why? Because there are people that come against the priest, that come against the apostle, that come against the fivefold ministry. So they don't have no love. They don't have no compassion in their hearts. When you see folk coming against you, you got to step back, take a step back. Coming against us, take a step back. And then look at them. Say, Lord, give me eyes of discernment so I can see this fellow, so I can see this lady. So I can see this brother. And when you see them, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed in your own thoughts. You say, wow. When God allows you to see who they really are, you will say to yourself, wow, I didn't know that she would like that. I didn't know he would like that. No, no, I was just in Louisiana, just a slide there, Louisiana. And Apostle Washington says, you have to see this for yourself. She was talking like the world is seeing right now. God would allow you to see everything that's hidden from you because you are his son. You are his daughter. Once you are open, some people don't want to see. They say, I just don't want to see. I rather continue trying to make it work. You can't make it work because it has joined its hands. You cannot make it work. You understand what I'm saying? Because it has joined itself with evil. The unbelief that's in them has caused them to join to evil. And they are willing to continue walking that way. And they're going to believe, listen to me. And these folk that Jose is talking about have a belief that they have a relationship with God. You'll see it in the word. They have a belief. Same thing with these people back then. Same thing with some of us. Acting and walking like the devil and believe they have a relationship with God. Not so. Listen to what Jose said. Therefore shalt thou fall in that day. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. Hear what God is saying to the prophet. These folk that proclaim that they have a relationship with God, but they are walking contrary to what they say that they know. Folks say, oh, I'm born again. I'm fire baptized. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I speak in tongues. Oh, I study my Bible 7 days a week. But when you look and hear them, your eyebrows start jumping because you can see the devil all over them. You can hear the devil coming up their voice tone. I mean, they just come into the room and get mad with you. Don't even know you from Adam. First time they see you, and they're mad at you. Why? Because they proclaim to know the master, but they don't know the master. You understand? They don't know the master. He said he's going to destroy them and the priest that they're supposed to be serving. And their mother. This is what God said. Listen to what he said. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Listen. This is why we got to stay connected to God. We got to stay connected to Yahweh. Why? Because God says when we reject his word, we don't have time to study his word. We don't have time to come to Block Talk with. We don't have time to go to the house of the Lord. We don't have time to fellowship with each other. We're rejecting God. You're not rejecting the pastor. You're rejecting God. He said so in the word. And he said because you reject me, you will suffer for the lack of knowledge. Because the more that I hear the word, the more knowledge I get of him. The more we hear the word, the more knowledge we get of him. And the more faith we begin to develop. So unbelief will go to the window. And evil will not have opportunity to come and take us out. But when you reject the word, you develop unbelief and evil get connected with you. Evil will come and connect to you. Oh, can you hear what I'm saying? This is what the word of God is saying. He said, as they were increased, so their sin against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Do you hear what God said? The more that they walk away from the word, the more that they reject the word, and we know that the word is Jesus. Because the Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when we reject the word, we're rejecting Jesus himself, God himself. We're rejecting him. And God said, when you reject him, listen what he said he will do. He said, you will increase in sin against him. Therefore Will I change their glory into shame? Now, all that they were going around thinking that they have going on for this. They got big car, big house, big this, big that. And they're fussing that they're doing great gold and diamonds and all. They got all the bling on them. And they're glorying in the stuff that they got in this world. Hallelujah. But the Bible said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one dot or tittle of his word shall pass away. It should stand forever. Yes. No, God said he's going to turn the things that they taught was so excited about us. He said he's going to turn all the stuff that was making them feel like they have arrived. He's going to turn it into shame. This is what God said. When unbelief joins hands with evil, I'm talking from the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1 to 19, if you just got on the line. Got much more to give you. We got two sermons that we're working on. We're going to have to do part two and part three of these two sermons. But glory to God. This is what he says. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their hearts on their iniquity. Listen, these people are sinning continuously. Hallelujah. And that's why they come against us so hard. They want to hurt us. They want to destroy us. They don't want us to continue to rise up and glorify God. Because the more that you rise up glorifying God, the enemy going to come against you. That's why we got to stay charged up. Every chance that we get, we got to get in the word and get the word in us. My pastor said, get the word. But my pastor told me, he said, son, don't get in the word. Get the word in you. We got to get this word in us every chance that we get by, because the enemy is rising up against us. The enemy does not want us to elevate to that realm of holiness. Because you know that the more that we get in that realm of holiness, that he's not going to have no power at all. His power is going to be so weak against us. It's just like pouring water in a bucket that have a hole in the bottom. It'll go right through. Hallelujah. That's one from Millionaire Bishop. Just like pouring water in the bucket with a hole, they'll come up with something like that. Hallelujah, because they got some comedy and stuff in there. But let me watch it. Watch it. I don't have a lot of jokes, but glory to God. Watch this here. I want you to see this here. Glory to God. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. What did God say? If we live by the sword, we're going to die by the sword. If we live by trickery going to take us out. Thank you, Apostle. If we live by trickery, that's why I said, look, I ain't going to run no game on nobody. Nobody. I'm not going to run game on nobody. Why? Because if you run game on somebody run game on you. God said so. Can't get away from it. God put it in the book. Hallelujah. If you like to tell lies, guess what? Somebody going to tell lies. Tell you a lie and they're going to sound like the truth. You're going to get deceived. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, I always say the truth alone don't set you free. You got to know it. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or set you free. So we have to get that truth and always speak the truth, even if somebody get mad at you. Well, girl, I got that thing last week in Louisiana. Because if you stand up and speak that truth, folk won't come against you. Won't come against you. Because what they want you to do, when they stop it, say, they want you to join with them. They got unbelief and they got evil, but you're the truth. So now they want you to succumb to their cunningness. Because see, unbelief and evil is very, very tricky. You know, it comes from Satan, so it's filled with subtleness. Listen to what I'm saying. It is filled with subtleness. In other words, trickiness. I don't know, deception. So this is why we need the spirit of the sermon, so we can see this stuff. That folk might say they know you well. They might say they know you well, Apostle, but at the same time, they're trying to deceive you. Why? Because of who you are and whose you are. Don't think that we all that in the bag of chips and the Pepsi-Cola. No, we ain't getting there yet. The devil steps to no end just to deceive us. That's why we got to stay abreast of the word of God. I'm talking about when unbelief joins hands with evil. Coming out of the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 to 19. Now the Lord speaks to them through the prophet. And he said, for they shall eat and not have enough. You ever seen people eating, and the more they eat, the more they want, and it seems like they're not getting filled? But God said that he's already put it in the book. You might wonder, how come that she can keep eating? He keeps eating all the time, and it looks like he don't get filled. You ever say that with some people? I know I say that. I said, man, he eating all the time. But God said so. God had it in the book. I didn't even know it was in this chapter. But God said it here, and I've said it so many times. Man, he eating all the time. Every time he look around, he's eating. Every time he look around, she's eating. It don't seem like she's getting full. But God said so. He said, for they shall eat and not have enough, not before. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. In other words, they're not going to get pregnant. You ever know that a lot of prostitutes, some of them commit abortions, but a lot of prostitutes don't get pregnant. It's something wrong with their womb. Their womb is barren or shut up. Maybe the pimp has knocked out something out of them that they can't get pregnant. But God said that they should commit whoredom. In other words, they're going to sell their bodies. And not only men, women, but men sell their body too. You got men prostitutes out there. The book talks about it. And they're not going to increase. Hallelujah. Can you imagine doing things that you hope to increase? But for some reason, you're not increasing. But we don't think about why am I not increasing? Why am I doing all this and it don't seem to increase? Because you're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it because it makes your flesh feel good. He said, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away their heart. No. You know, when folk, I was in the church in Virginia, and I should go to this, call itself some Baptist church. And they call itself, I can see it right now, Falls Church Baptist Church. And they had a lot of motivational teaching and preaching. And the preachers taught that there was the living story to the Word of God. But every time they take a break, they would take a break. The ushers and the ones that work in the altar, and they would go outside and go behind the building. And one day I was preaching over there, and when I was, you know, I get hot, I get very hot. I know it's something the Lord put inside of me, and I just feel like I'm burning up on the inside, and because you know the word, if you're preaching, I mean. Like me, I got that West Indian blood. So when I preach, I get on fire on the inside. I mean, the stuff comes, this comes. So I went outside, and the ushers and the deacons was out the back of the building, and they had these little flasks. You know, like you see the Western movies, we call them cowboy movies, Westerns, and the gunmen would have these little silver flasks filled with whiskey, and they would have it in their pocket. And these deacons and ushers had the silver flask in the back of the building. And they were sipping that alcohol. And then they would go back in there, they spray stuff in their mouth and go back, put the little white gloves on and go back in there and stand up by the altar with their hand behind their back. That's how they stand. I see you wonder, because they're not giving all to God. You see, when this stuff come and take over, they're playing like they got God. The Bible said that they got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So they're looking holy. They're looking pious, but they don't have no power. Why? Because they're still slipping and dipping. They're still slipping and dipping. We can't do that. We can't do that. You can't say you got God. Oh, you're with God. Our God is watching over me. God has me covered. But yet, say you're in a bed. Fornicating, committing adultery. You instead of cussing out people, have people looking at people and hearing people for no reason. Why? Because this. Unbelief joins hand with evil. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. It don't lie. God does not lie. God's word is pure. Hallelujah. You can say, well, Apostle Callender or David Callender, however you want to say, however the devil put in your mouth, you can say, well, he got a long mouth. He's long-winded, and he just, and I can't stand. You can say what you want. But the word of God is true. And that's what I'm speaking. It's coming out my mouth. It's like fire in my belly. This word, God says, folk will come against you because of who you are. And you need to stand up, put your chest up, and say, Lord, I thank you. Don't get mad with them. Don't cuss them out. Don't go back to your old self and act like they are, because that's what the devil wants you to do. So he can brag and tell, go before God and tell God. Now, see, I know they wouldn't for you. Here, tell God that. Now, what did the devil do? Told God, if you just remove the head from around him, he'll cut you to your face and die. But God knew the heart of Job. Does God know our hearts? Can he trust us to stand up and say for him, are we gonna start clinging to unbelief and evil because of what people are saying and doing? We're going to walk away from God and say, well, I'm going to act like them. I'm going to mess you up. No, I'm not going to mess you up. I'm giving you to the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not going to take up my weapon anymore. I got that stuff, but I'm not going to take that stuff up anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've already given my heart to God. And God promised to fight my battle. He told me that he's a son. The battle is not yours, it's mine. In other words, God said to me, he said, son, you don't have to take up a 357 Magnum anymore. You don't have to take up a 44 Magnum anymore. You don't have to take a 38 Special anymore. You don't have to get a 9mm anymore. You don't have to get a machete. He said, I will do all the work for you. You just keep doing what I call you to do. And I will fight the battle because the battle is mine. Because you know you have become a son or daughter of God, God said, no, I'm taking over. I'm going to take care of everything that concerns you. He said, I'll perfect that which concerns thee. All you got to do, keep your mind stayed on him. This is what he said. How you keep your mind stayed on God? Stay in prayer. Stay in the word. Fellowship. God's going to fight our battle. It doesn't care how much unbelief and evil they have. God said, he's going to fight your battle. He's going to fight our battle. The problem is that we allow the devil to get in our head. Not in our heart, because your heart already belongs to God. Our heart belongs to God. He can't get back in there. You hear what I'm saying? Your heart has been purchased. Our soul has been purchased. The devil can't get back in there, but he's getting your head. And now if you allow him to stay in your head, then you'll give your heart to him. Because you'll start doing what he wants you to do. That's how he'll get your heart again. You got to give. He can't come in there. You have to give him your heart. Now, because your heart has been purchased. But you still have a will. We still have a will. Hallelujah. We still have a will. God has given us a will, which is the same thing as a choice. It's the same thing as a choice. The will is the same thing as a choice. So we can choose to go back where we used to be. We can choose to act the way we used to act and do the thing we used to do. Or we can continue walking with Christ, saying, Lord, I know you're fighting my battle. I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for healing my body. I'm not going to let anything that attacked my body cause me to go back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to let anything that I'm lacking cause me to do go back. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to do stuff because we lack. You know, the devil says, but girl, I know you can't pay your car payment this month. Boy, I know you can't pay your car payment this month. But I'm going to give you 3 car payments. If you just come on and meet me at Hotel 6, Motel 6, meet me at the Holiday Inn. I'm going to give you 3 car payments. All you got to do is come and take off your little tight shorts, your little tight pants, and get up on that bed. And he said the same thing to the men. That's not just for women. I know, because in 2011 or 12, I had a woman from Texas. She was an entrepreneur, plenty of money. She came on Blog Talk Radio with somebody. Next thing I know, she was inboxing me. If I come to Texas, she would take care of me. I would never have to want for anything else. And I told her, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. You got to get to that place. You got to get to that place where you know that you have been purchased already. Don't just say, you know, people can say stuff, but you got to know that you know deep down in your heart that your heart has been purchased. Jesus purchased your soul, but your head, you see, Jesus, oh my God, hallelujah. Jesus purchased your spirit man, your soul man. At the cross, but your head, the flesh, the head represents the flesh. The head represents the flesh. The flesh he didn't purchase. That's why the devil attacked your head. come and drop a thought in my head, in your head. Man, is she checking you out? Can't you see how she look? Can you see he checking you out? He like your body. He like your face. He like your... And devil putting all them thoughts in your head. Now you start watching the man, because now you hearing what the devil want you to look at. You see what I'm saying? So we got to cast on them thoughts of imagination. So God said that they started the whoring. Israel started going after everything, other gods. He said, my people are constant at their stumps, and their staff declared unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Now they leave God. You see people in the church, you know people. People been in the church preaching and teaching the gospel. Oh, they were full of what we thought was fire. But then something happened. Something happened because they've been listening to those voices. Do you hear what I say? In the head. And the next thing you know, they're out back in the world. Cussing, drinking, dancing, and twerking, shaking the behind like the world. They forget that they were what belongs to God. So now they allow Satan back in, because Satan can come in. Satan said, well, I got him. I got her. And then he goes and mock God. I told you. See, he tried that every which way with Job. Took everything from Job. Everything. Do you understand? Job was not left with anything. He couldn't even sit down properly. He couldn't brush his teeth because even his mouth was filled with sores. So he had bad breath and bad skin and lack of money. Couldn't buy no food. Couldn't eat. So food was no concern of him because he couldn't eat. His mouth was full of sores. But he still wouldn't cuss God. Even his wife wanted to cuss God and die. But see, when you get to be to the place where you really, really love God, you'll have faith. Unbelieving evil will not be able to get close to you. There's always going to be people that are not concerned about God. They don't care for God. You see, because when you step into the realm of holiness, it stops you from wanting to fornicate. It stops you from wanting to lie and cuss and drink alcohol. The only time you'll drink a little alcohol is when you're doing Holy Communion. And it's not enough to change your alter your mind, but it'll alter your spirit. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you get into that realm of holiness.
Hallelujah.
He began to work on your spirit man. Your spirit man began to get so strong that Satan began to tremble. And Satan said, all I have tried on her, all I have tried on him, it don't seem to be working. Do you hear what I'm saying? And he's trying, he's not going to stop. Satan don't give up. That's why you can see people come with the spirit of God. They're supposed to know God. They're supposed to know God. They can come into a room where the spirit of God has saturated the atmosphere, and they're full of evil. They got all evil thoughts. Why? Because unbelief has joined hands with evil. Listen to what I'm telling you. When you open your eyes, you begin to see the spirit upon them. I don't talk about your fleshly eyes. That's why I said I see more than you show me. And I hear more than you tell me. Why? Because I'm not listening with these two fleshly ears that they have. I'm not watching you with these two fleshly eyes. I'm watching you with the spirit eyes. And I'm listening to you with spirit ears. So I can hear what God wants me to hear and see what God wants me to see. Hallelujah. See, when you listen with spirit ears, you are able to do like Jesus. You can go through the crowd, and the crowd would not be able to touch you. They can be saying stuff, and you'll hear everything they're saying, even though they're trying to talk with a low tone, because you're not listening with your fleshly ears or your earthly ears, but you're listening with spiritual ears, and you hear everything they're saying. And you can walk right through them. They can't touch you. Or you're walking in the spirit. That's what Jesus do. When they try to kill him, they want to set him up to kill him. And they plan to kill him. He just walked right through them. They couldn't even see him because he's walking in the spirit. He was walking in the spirit. They couldn't see him. And they were blinded to who he was. He said, watch that. Verse 13 says, they sacrificed upon the tops of the mountains and burned incense upon the hills, on the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. See, therefore, your daughter shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. See that? When we decide to walk away from God, when we decide to prostitute ourselves against God, Holy Ghost, I hear you. Not only does we're affected, but everything connected to, everyone connected to us are affected. Do you see that? It's here in the picture. It's here in the book. God put it there. Everybody connected to us is affected. So why would I want to walk away from God and go back doing things that I used to do? And when you do go back in, it is worse. It's worse. Now you're doing worse things than you did before. Now if you just used to have sex, now you're going to be doing oral sex. You're going to be doing orgies. You're going to be doing all this stuff. You're going to sell your body. You're going to do all this stuff because Satan's going to take you to a deeper dimension in sin. You're not going back and do the same thing you were doing before. It was. The Bible said when a spirit leaves the house, he goes around looking for a dry place. And if you don't find a place to rest himself, he comes back with seven other demons. So no, it's worse now for that person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's worse. So that's why we got to stay connected. He said your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. Everybody's affected, not just us. Hallelujah. He says, oh, my God. And I will punish your daughters with when they commit whoredom, for your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that does not understand shall fall. When you don't understand, you will fall. Folk are doing stuff but don't understand. This is why we that understand will stand. We got to stay connected in the Word of God and connected to people of God that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. You don't want to connect with everybody. Let me tell this. You can't connect with everybody. Hallelujah. Because everybody's not doing it for the same reason. They don't have the same mindset. A lot of people are doing it because they want to get rich. They want to have the Rolls Royce. They want to have the Bentleys. They want to have the jets. They want to have the yachts. They want to have a house in every city. Or a condominium. You know what I'm saying? In some big continents or countries. They want to have, but I have a house down in the Caribbean. I have a house in Hawaii. I have a house in Africa. I have a house in Brazil. You know, they can take the bag about that stuff. So I got a summer home down in Florida and all that stuff. They want to see that stuff. But guess what? All of this stuff that they accomplished in the natural is going to leave. They have to leave behind. Don't be like the preacher, the man that bought the whole plot, and he had the antique car. And he said, look, when I die, it was in the will. And they had to put the picture on Facebook. He had his big old long car, 67-something, Chevy or Buick. And he was dressed with a nice black suit and had his hat on and all that stuff, sitting behind the wheel. I don't know where he think he was going. They had to put him in the car because that was his request. And he bought the land big enough. And they put the car, dig the hole, the back hole, dig out the hole, big enough for the car. And they slide the car with him sitting behind the wheel. You know? Well, I don't know. I don't know where he thinks he's going to go because the maggots are down there waiting for him to eat him, eat the shoes, everything. You know, it's only what we do for God that will last. Only what we do for the Lord will last. If we decide that we're going to live for him, guess what? It's going to last. Continue doing what the Lord called you to do. Don't compromise the apostle. Don't compromise the word of God because of something that you need. She said she's gonna give me a Rolex watch. If I get all I got to do is give her a couple minutes and I'm gonna get a Rolex watch, $35,000 watch, $15,000 watch. Oh, she's gonna buy me a Lexus. He going to get me in Bentley. Stupid, man. What could a prophet of mine to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul? When that time comes and Jesus come with the angels on the clouds of heaven and he come, what are we going to do with a Rolex watch if your heart is not right? If your soul is not right, what can the Rolex watch do for you? He's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart. Hallelujah. We have to live this life in a way that when God comes, he said, well done, that good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Amen. You may not have all the stuff that you want right now. You may not have everything that you want right now, but you have all that you need if you got Jesus living in your heart.
Right.
He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Listen. You'll read more verses. Verse 15. He said, thou Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, or come not you unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethlehem, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backslider, backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Hers, her rulers with shame, do love, give ye. Ah, the wind has bound her up in her wings, and there shall be a shame because of their sacrifices. Now, God told them, Judah, you can imagine that two people, two nations, living side by side. Because Judah and Jerusalem were two nations, but they finally became one. And God told Judah, don't hold a hand, don't get connected with them. See, that's why you can have people go to the house. You can't connect with them. Because, see, God will let you see what they're doing. And Judah know that Jerusalem was committing whoredom. He know that they were prostituting themselves with the idols, idol worshiping, going on the mountain and worshiping different gods, not Jehovah Rapha, not Jehovah El Shaddai. Hallelujah. But they were worshiping other gods. God that was sufficing their flesh. You know, sometimes folk want to do the stuff that make them feel good. Well, I was at a convocation in South Carolina many years ago. I ain't gonna call the name of the thing. It's a big, big organization. That's the one I told that charged $1,500 and stuff for the license. And they give the chief apostle all this money. Well, all of the apostles and the bishop, but I wasn't in there. I wasn't staying there. Because I see all these men start stripping off all the way down to these socks. And yet to find out there were so many of them apostles and so many of them bishops that were bisexual. You understand what I'm saying? So everybody that you hear going up on the altar and they can hoop and holler and snout and all that stuff, you need the spirit of discernment so you don't try to get me because I like that chief apostle or I like that bishop. Ask God to show the bishop heart. Ask God, because you may just have to reach your hand out to shake the bishop's hand instead of giving him a Holy Ghost hug because he got his funny ideas about you, about me. Do you understand? It don't matter if you're male or female. These people are bisexual. They're working for Satan. They're in God's house or man's house, but they're working for Satan. You ever seen the movie The Rapture? You ever seen the movie The Rapture? The preacher was preaching, but he said, I've led so many people to the cross. He said, but I've never went to the cross for myself.
what he was saying. He said, I didn't have no connection with Jesus. He was preaching Jesus, but he had no connection. He had no knowledge of who Jesus really was. Hallelujah. They can say Jesus, 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 and snot coming out their noses and spit coming out their mouth, but there's nothing happening in their heart. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you all this morning? These folk have got so much unbelief that evil has connected with them. It's like they're walking hand in hand with evil because they're not truly serving God. That's why they can preach and say, God is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is the love of my soul. And then they'll take up a revolver and kill somebody. Why? Because they have not had a connection with him. Hallelujah. They have no relationship with him. He don't know them and they don't know him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he knows his sheep and the sheep know him. And a stranger that will not follow. This is what Jesus says. So if we really know him, we're going to follow him. We're going after him. Hallelujah. We're going to love on each other unconditionally. We're not going to love because you can give me $1,000. I'm not going to love you because you can give me $2. I'm going to love you because you are my sister. You are my brother. I'm not going to love you because I want to get in your pants. You're not going to love me because you want me to take my drawers down. I'll tell you like it is. Hallelujah. That's why I love Blood Talk Radio, because we can preach the truth here, and we don't have to compromise the truth. But this is what happened in a lot of the churches. You understand? They're loving on each other because after the service, they're going in the office and having sex. They're going to Hotel Six and Motel Holiday Inn. They're going to Marriott. Hallelujah. And they're having sex. You understand? And they think they're fooling God. God, that's a matter of time when he pays the skies. They will have their reward. Hallelujah. Let us do this thing for God. Let us do this for God. Let's honor God with everything that's written in us. So that when he calls us up and says, my son, come on home, you say, thank you, Lord. My time is up. I got to go. You're not afraid. Hallelujah. You're not afraid because you're working for the kingdom. I like to say the payment is not much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. I don't get much. Don't have much in the natural. But in the spirit realm, my God, my bank book is overflowing. I have more than enough. And I'm looking for that day when he says, son, come on in. Here's your reward, your crown of glory. Hallelujah. And then I have that robe, that heavenly robe, spiritual robe, he's going to put on me. And he's going to give me them sandals that the soul is not going to wear out. And then he's going to give me a ring of sonship. Hallelujah! He can put that ring on my finger. Glory to God, a ring of sonship. Hallelujah! This is where we live. This is where we do what we do. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow we have somebody else coming to preach a word tomorrow. I got to take a break. I'm getting too much itching in my throat. But we thank God and praise God for this day and for the word that the Lord has given us today. Jesus, we thank God for this word. This word has blessed me. I run it through.
Yes.
I have a sermon on this teaching, where we're going to come back and hit it at number two, do a number two on the other one. When we come back someday this week, the Lord leads us. Losing my phone in that car, amen, because a lot of numbers I had in the book, but it didn't come through to the new phone. And I got one job. I got to finish up. I sent my friend, but she ain't come. She didn't get back to me. I'm going to have to call her husband and see if he can get her. Of course, I know she's going through some things now. See if she can get me that number so I can go over there and finish that job and get paid. So, but either way, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. And Lord, we ask you to continue to touch us, continue to help us to grow. Help us to grow in the way that gives you glory, O Father. In the places of our lives that we come up short, Lord, we ask you to strengthen us, that we might be the men and women that you call us to glorify you, O God. Father, anything that we do that does not give glory to you, or anything in us, Lord, we ask you to remove it, that you will begin to get all the glory, all the honor, all the praises. Not only that, but many will come to you through the words that we speak, O God, just like the apostles, that they will believe on you through our word. We just thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name.
for blessing us for the new day today. And Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to build Blog Talk family and that you continue to help us to fall deeply in love with each other, knowing that when we get to heaven, that we all will sing the same song. We will sing that hallelujah song along with the angels in heaven and the 24 elders. We will sing and glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name, Bishop, if you're there, you can come on in. If not, we open the line. I see what the Lord said.
He's here. Hold on. Glory to God. Okay, here we go right now. Let's get some souls saved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To God be all the glory, honor, and praise.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here on this day in the land of the living.
Yes.
Now, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please, I urge you to take this opportunity to do so, because we never know if our soul will be required. We never know when. Hallelujah. In the book of John, 3:17, the word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world that through him might be saved." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your blessed, beautiful, wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. You see, God knew that we were only dust and that we would fail from time to time. We always make mistakes. We can strive for excellence, but we will not have perfection because we are not spirit beings. We're humans. We fall short.
Yes, yes.
In the book of Romans, hallelujah, chapter 3, verse 23, the word of God says, "For all have sinned and shall fall short of the glory of God." Hallelujah. That's so true, so true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to save us. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 8, hallelujah, beginning at verse 8, and it says, what does it say? It says, "The word is near you, it's in your mouth." That is the word of faith, which we preach. And in verse 9, where confession is made, say, "God, I am a sinner. I know I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Please accept me as your son or daughter at this time." And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. You will be saved. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is over all. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. If you've made that short confession, hallelujah, and you truly believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are now saved. You have a clean slate. You're beginning a brand new life. But you must repent. And repentance is not returning to your previous way of living. Oh, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, stay with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave him. Don't turn away from him. Don't go back to your old ways. If you have backslidden and rededicated your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your slate is clean. God has given us yet another chance. Don't continue chance after chance and get caught the wrong way. So repent. And if you've never been baptized, it tells us how we should be baptized. In the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through verse 41. Hallelujah. And what God says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. And God calls us all to himself. Listen, 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 and be called. And listen, answer, and obey. Hallelujah. And with many other words, he testified and encouraged them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Would you join those 3,000 souls today? And many millions more who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? There's no other way. It tells us very clearly in the book of Acts, chapter 4, at verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The only begotten Son of the Lord God Almighty. There's no other way, no matter what people try to tell us. It's right in the Bible. Please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know through him and him alone is the only way. Jesus is the doorway to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want your heavenly reward, hallelujah, you must go through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no detouring, no going around, going in through the back door, side door, whatever. The door is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving Jesus to us, who your only begotten Son was nailed to the cross for our sins and iniquities. He didn't sin. He just took sin upon himself. Hallelujah. In obedience to the Father to save us all. Honor and respect and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you, when you get baptized, invite as many as you will, people of all walks, enemies, co-workers, parents, children, hallelujah, neighbors, hallelujah, anyone you meet on the street first time, let them know, hey, I'm being baptized on whatever day, and I'm inviting you to my baptism. And by doing so, you know, you may cause a soul to enter into heaven, and you will be rewarded for drawing that soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. So congratulations. Hallelujah. If you don't have a Bible, we suggest that you get one. Get a Bible, a good Bible, King James, New King James, New Living Translation. There's several good Bibles out there. Take your time. Read the scripture every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to read and to give you the understanding and wisdom and knowledge of what he's saying in his word. God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome back, brothers and sisters who have slipped away for a short time. Welcome back. God bless
Amen.
Each and every one of you. And praise the Lord God Almighty. Pastor, it's back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop James Washington, out of Slidell, Louisiana. We thank God for you and for your lovely wife, my sister in Christ. We just thank God for that
thank
prayer
you.
Of salvation. What an awesome prayer. Somebody shall receive the gift of
thank you.
Salvation. You know, it is there for anyone that called upon his name. You know, he is just so wonderful that if you call, he said he would answer. And that's
right.
All we have to do. That's all somebody out there in computer land need to do if you want salvation. If you want to be saved, if you want to be sure that when he comes, that you'll go back with him, just call upon his name in repentance. You know, just call upon his name and tell him that you're sorry for your sin, your life that you've been living. We all did it, and we all do it every day. Every day, we repent. And that's you got to do that. Don't let the enemy stop you and saying that you don't have to repent because you have to. None of us have reached that place of perfection yet. But he's perfecting us. That's the good thing about working for him, living for him, is that he's perfecting us. You know, so then you know that you're being perfected. You got a reason to get up in the morning. Hallelujah. I got a reason to get up because I know he's perfecting me. And Bishop, that was just a blessed prayer of salvation. With just a blessed prayer of salvation. I want to tell you that I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. It just touched my heart because I love that. I love the prayer of salvation. It does something to me. Matter of fact, I'll be seeing it in my mind, repeating it, because I need to tap it every chance I get. I need to tap it and know that my salvation is sure. My place in heaven is sure. You know, nobody can take it away from me. He made it sure for me. So I want to open the line now for anyone that wants to come on in and add to this message that you heard today. If you heard something in there, tell it to me. Put it in the atmosphere. Somebody out there listening, and it might touch their heart and make them make a choice today. See that? I heard the same thing that woman said. I heard the same thing that man said. That word touched me in this way, and I want more. Sure. You know, when you encourage, you don't know that you are encouraging people all over the world. All over the world. You know, I had a man last night. I was laying in there studying. I had a man was inboxing me from Africa. And he was, you know, it's amazing what Blog Talk does. I don't know what these people, other people be doing, but I know Blog Talk family be touching, man. We be touching in agreement. And this man was, he was telling me, he sent me a message that one of his children had just entered the African armed forces. So, and I was going back and forth with him. And then he said, well, his name is Caleb. So I said, well, we can pray for Caleb. We're going to cover him. Why? Because he's like one of our nephews. We're going to pray for him. We're going to keep Caleb lifted up. That while he is out there, that he'll be safe. You know. But we thank God for the work that he is doing here through us as the people of God. And I thank God for each and every one of you that has given your time, given your food, given your money to serve God. Because it's more than just time. It's everything that we have. It belongs to God. And we give it back to him as a sacrifice. We give it back to him. You know, Abraham had the thing that was so dear to his heart. And God called for it. Lord Jesus. God called for that thing that was so dear to his heart while he is an old man. And God said, look, give me Isaac. He didn't call for Ishmael. But he called to the one that was dear to his heart. Not saying he didn't like Ishmael too, but Isaac came out of his womb, out of his loins, out of his wife's womb, while they were both old in age. So Isaac became very dear to Abraham's heart. And God says, give me him. Put him on the altar. What are you holding? That's another message there, Apostle. My God, that's a message right there. What are we holding back from God? What is so dear to us that we don't want to get to God? What it is? Something you're holding on to that is very dear to your heart, but God wants you to surrender. God wants you to give to him. Just look in your heart. I don't know where that came from, but it just came in my spirit. Look in your own heart. Look in your own heart and see what you're holding on to. It may be a $5 bill. It may be a $10 bill. It may be a dollar. That you think that you need so much, and God said, give it up. God is saying, give it up. Give it up. Man, let it be a sacrifice unto me. Let it be a sacrifice. That's what God is saying. Because until you let go of that thing that you're holding on to, that you think is so dear, you're not going to be able to experience God. I'm telling you right now. I just heard that in my spirit. Somebody out there in computer land. You've been holding on. And you think that you got it going on because you got this and you got that. But I'm telling you, the scriptures do lie. And God cannot lie. God say you're holding on to stuff that you need to let go of. It's going to take you to hell if you don't let go.
Amen.
Now. I tell you right now, it's going to take you to hell if you don't let go. It's going to take you to hell. I love you guys so much, man. I'm telling you. Woo! I'm looking forward to my next trip. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to my next trip, man. I'm looking forward to my next trip. We're going to have a Holy Ghost tour downtown. The line is open. Line is open because I feel the Holy Ghost stirring me up right now.
Excuse me. I just want to say
something.
I'm going to have to go. My sister called me. She need me. And I just hope we don't have to go back to the hospital. But I just pray, but I'm about to get ready to go. But I want to say these two things. God is good, truly. I honor this morning our Apostle David Collins.
Yes, God.
And our Apostle Linda Washington. Our Bishop Jane Washington.
Yes,
God. And Lula Darshana. I just thank and praise God for the opportunity. I praise God for everything that he has done. But I just want to say, I know all this was of God. Now, last night, my body was very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my Bible because, you know, I told you I was rested. I turned to Job in the book of Job, the 36th chapter. And that subject was God's judgment against the sin of his people. And then here comes Apostle and Jose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Make sure I wrote that down. I said, judgment before God. That was Job talking about the judgment before God, you know, the sin of the people. And then Apostle came on Hosea 4, talking about God's judgment against sin of the people. And you know, then Apostle, and I had been reading and writing some things came in my mind and spirit. What are you holding on to? And he came on and said it. Let me tell you, that was a beautiful word, Apostle.
Yes.
That was a beautiful word.
Yes, it was.
And everybody today needed to hear that word.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that is beautiful because the things God was speaking, you know, out of your mouth, which was the word of God, these things are going on today. And you know, like I used to tell y'all a long time, I say, for years, I would allow things like this to trouble my spirit. And that's when I started withdrawing my myself from people because the Lord was revealing a lot of this stuff to me. And I said, I wasn't trying to judge nobody, but I knew I couldn't walk in that way. You understand? So what I did, I said to myself, I said, God, you said your way is a straight and narrow way. And if I have to be around this, I called it myself. And so I'm just so glad. You know, I had to deport myself. Hey, I was all alone, y'all. I ain't talking about no month, two. I'm talking for years. I went to church. I served the Lord. I'm back in my house. I didn't serve nobody because all I see was this crookedness. And you put the Caesar. And that did something to me. Now, don't confess him. I know ain't nobody perfect. We probably be striving to get there. But if you're striving to get there, you're not going to go to the house of the Lord and hear the word of God. And then, as the apostle was saying, when out of there you end up this hotel and that hotel and this and that and whatever, that's not God. And so what I said to the Lord, I know I wasn't going to do it now. What I'm saying, because I seen them do it, I didn't have a heart to do it. But what I was saying was, I'm just going to stay alone. I hear the word of God. I go to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to treat
my fellow men at the way God desired for me to be treated, to treat them, I just pulled away. I said, because of this way called holiness, I didn't want no part of it. But I know my God is a holy God, and I know he saved my soul. And truly, again, I just want to tell you, the man of God, that was so beautiful. Because so many, and I'm going to call them just what they is, devil. They know the devil, the spirit devil. Oh, they try to buy you.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't to be bought, because we already been bought. Jesus already bought us.
Yeah.
So where in his word, he said, you had to be bought twice. And Pastor Linda, you know, I get back with you before we were talking about what we're going to decide. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to go and get ready and go and check on her. And I'll get back in church with y'all before this day is out, okay?
Amen.
If you want me to do it,
amen.
If you want to do it, it's
fine. Father God, we just thank you, Father God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise your God for Apostle Millie, for her sister. Lord, we know what the enemy's trying to do, but Father, we put her in your hands right now. And we know there's no safer place than your hands. We know, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, you are the God that healeth, oh God. And no one can heal but you, not the saints, not the doctors. No one can heal but you, Father. We believe that you have already healed her. And God, we are calling this in advance now, right now. We are receiving the healing right now for her, God, that you're strengthening her. God, that her blood symptom is neutralizing right now. Her blood is neutralizing right now, that is operating the way her heart is pumping the way it's supposed to pump. Her mind is acting the way it's supposed to. Her body, her liver, her kidneys, everything in her body is operating according to your word. So, Father, we sent the word. Like the centurion says, send the word, and his servant will be healed. God, we are sending the word that you have given to us in our belly. We send it now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we claim it finished right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead and take care of your sister. We'll talk later.
I love all of y'all. I love all of y'all. But I pass Apostle Washington. I would get back with you soon as I find out what's going on. But she has a problem in her chest right now. So I got to get on out of here, okay? Love y'all.
Amen. Amen.
Love you more.
Love you.
God
too.
Bless.
Love you, too. Love you too. Hallelujah. God loves you. God loves you. He loves all of his people. Glory to God. God, we thank you for what you're doing right now in this situation. You're in control, God. You're in control of everything in Janice's body, your daughter. And no devil in hell is going to come in and trample on the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you have given us... because you've already shed the blood and you have put that power in us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's given us the authority to trample upon the serpent. Therefore, no evil will befall her. No evil will befall Janine, your servant. Hallelujah. No evil will befall any of us as we walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, as you lead us and you guide us, you said you are our shepherd and we shall not want. So God, we not want for nothing. We not want for anything, God, that you have already prepared for us and given us. It is ours to have, and we desire to have it. Hallelujah. It is our desire to have what it is you have for us, what it is you do for us, what it is. Oh, God, that you will say to us, we want to hear it, we want to do it, we want to see it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word this morning. God, from your apostle, from your servant, hallelujah. And, Father, we know that when he comes back, he'll have even more. As he has given of himself as a sacrifice into the kingdom, oh, God, that through you, God, that he will continue to grow in understanding and wisdom, Lord. You said, and all you're getting, get understanding. He is hungry for your word, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we thank you now that he is covered. from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and everything that is concerning him has already been taken care of by you. And his family is covered by you. We thank you for the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ upon us all, upon us all, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this word this morning, reminding us about the wayward church. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, help us to stay in your way and not to go out of the way, not to go to the left nor to the right, God, to keep looking unto Jesus, our wonderful, holy Redeemer, looking unto the wonders of his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no love like the love of God. And he demonstrates it over and over again in our life. He has shown us in his word, as it connects with our lives, that he's the same God. Hallelujah. As long as we hold hands with God, then the things of God will show up. Hallelujah. The promises of God will come to fruition. But when you want to hold hands with the devil, the wicked, like you're talking about, when we want to hold hands with the wicked, then we get what wicked does. Hallelujah. Either we hold hands with the devil and get what wicked does, or we hold hands with Jesus and get what holiness does. Hallelujah. So we want to hold hands with Jesus. We want to walk with Jesus, the Redeemer. Hallelujah. And get to know, get to experience the wonderful redeeming love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We see in this book of Hosea, we see the redeeming love of God. Hallelujah. And we can see ourselves, because there was a time when we walked outside of the will of God. Hallelujah. But God continued to tug on us. God continued to speak to us. Hallelujah. And he brought us in. He brought us in through his redeeming love. That's what this book of Hosea is all about. As a matter of fact, the name Hosea means salvation. Hallelujah. That's what his name means. And this is what God wants for all of us, for us all to be saved. No matter how bad it is, no matter who we're holding hands with, how long we've been holding hands with the devil, it is still God's desire that no man perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that we all be saved. That is his desire, and it's our desire to see our brothers and sisters come out of bondage, come out of the way of the world, and come into the way, Yahweh, Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. And that's what we desire to see for those that don't know the Lord. You said something, Apostle, and you said that some people just never get enough. They eat all the time. They have an obsession, and it's the same way with the evil. The more evil they do, the more they want of it. And it's the same way with the people of holiness. The more we do what God says, the more we see him show up, the more we see his word being demonstrated in our lives, the more we want of him. It's the same. It's the same thing, you know. The more we do of anything, the more we want of it, because we get more and more hooked on it. But I want to thank God that I'm hooked on Jesus. We got to get hooked on Jesus. And this evil thing will not overtake us. Only God will overtake us. Only his word will overtake us, not no evil, because whatever we do, it'll be manifest in our lives. Whatever is in the heart, whatever obsessions we have, it's going to show up in our daily lives. Glory be to God. So we got to be greedy for some Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to be needy. We got to be in need of him and not just be greedy, not be greedy for all the things in the world. And that's the thing that when you said that, I said that is so true, that people never get enough. If they're obsessed with money, they never get enough of it. If you're whatever we're obsessed with, we never get enough of it. So when you become possessed by the holiness of God, obsessed, hallelujah, when we become obsessed obsessed with Jesus, with the Word of God, then we don't. We always feel like we never get enough. We don't have. God is more than enough, sure enough. But we got to want more and more of the Word. And the more we do of the Word, the more stronger we get in the Word, and the more understanding we get of the Lord. We get more understanding of the Word, and then we're not going to walk in the ways of the devil. We're going to continually look to God. And I say, wow, that is so true. You see, people, the greediness of people, they got 30 cars, you know, can't get enough. Go get another one. Can't get enough of the worldly things. Can't get enough. But when we come to Jesus, we can't get enough of him. Hallelujah. We get more than enough through Jesus Christ. But you know, we was talking about that song when we all got together. Give me Jesus till I want no more, or something like that. You got to want more. You got to want more when you got Jesus, because you find out how good he is. Yeah. Apostle, we find out how wonderful he is. We learn about the redeeming love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Okay. See, God wanted to teach Hosea, and I'm not going to say much more about it because you got a second part. I taught on this book before, and I'm not going to say too much more about it because I'll be getting into your second part, I know. So I don't want to do that. Hallelujah. But I do want to say I thank God for this word this morning. God is teaching us that his love is more than word. Look at it. His love is more than word. Love is not what we say, but what we do.
Yes.
What we do. And that prophet loved God. That prophet loved the people.
Hallelujah.
Of God. And he brought to them what we all need, just like we all do as prophets, as people of God. We have to let the people know where they have their errors. But most of all, Apostle, what I hear today is that we have to, when we pray, we should pray that God will show us our errors. That God will show us ourselves, that God will show us what it is you mentioned that we might be holding back from God, that he will show us what it is that we are doing that does not please him. Hallelujah. We only want to talk about the things, the good things we do. We want to talk about what we give and what we do and how much we love and this, that, and other. What about what we don't do? What about the things that we have overlooked? What about those things? God, we need you to show us, God. Open up our eyes to ourselves and stop looking at everybody else. They did this, they did that. What you do? What about we're doing? What about we're not doing that we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying for God to help us, God. Help me to see me. Help me to see myself, what I'm doing wrong, and stop pointing the finger at everybody else. Everybody else,
that's
keep
right.
our eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's sure enough got his eyes on us. He's sure enough got his eyes on us, and he can see everything that we're doing. Hallelujah. So many things are happening in this world, and we see it, but we have to do what's right and walk right so others can come to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
See, God is teaching us today that we can teach others about what we do, how we love. We say we love, but how are we loving? Are we loving, telling people we love them and we're selfish? Oh, I love you. That's one of the most misused, abused words.
That's right.
Ever. People are so loose with it. They're always saying they love you, but they don't show it to you. They do everything.
Don't show it.
To somebody who loves. When people love, they don't try to hurt you. They're going to try to trick you. They're not going to try to do no wrong to you. They'll try to help you any way they can. They'll be there for
you. Any way they can.
That's right. Hallelujah. They won't hold back from their brothers and their sisters what they have in their hands that they can give. They won't hold back. They won't hold themselves back. They give their all in all. They give their whole self to everything that God said that we ought to be committed to. We give our whole self. We give our everything. This is not an easy lesson to learn for most folks. It's not easy. Hallelujah. God in this chapter is saying we got to repent. Hallelujah. It's about repentance too. My God, Jesus. Hallelujah. So God has challenged people today with this word. God will challenge us. And if we will listen, we'll say, okay, God, I need to examine some things. I need to examine myself and examine how I've been doing things and what I've been saying. It's an examination time. We need a checkup. We need to check ourselves. God said, we got to do it. We got to be the ones to meditate. We got to be the ones to meditate day and night. We got to be the ones to seek God for ourselves, hallelujah, and for others, but for ourselves so that we could do the right things toward others. I tell you, Apostle, I learned a lot on our retreat this week. I observed a lot. Well, yeah, it was last week, but it ain't been. It was last week, but I learned. Right. And I saw some things I hadn't seen before. And I thank God. I thank God for it. Glory be to God. And I'll share with you, not on the line, but I will share with you. So some lessons are not easy to learn. And sometimes we are void of some understanding about something. But when we ask God to show us, he will show up. He will show up in his own timing. He's going to show us what is going on. And he is going to redeem us. I mean, what I mean is deliver us from this thing or these things or other people even to see what they are doing that can be harming them that they don't even know about. We got to observe and not talk so much, but observe. Observe what's going on around us. Hallelujah. Look into the things that people are doing before we shoot off our mouth and assume things. People assuming a whole bunch of stuff that's not right, a whole bunch of things because we're only seeing with our natural eyes. But we ask God to open up our spiritual eyes even the more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't want to talk about this book too much. I don't want to say no more about Hosea. But we learn a lesson. And if we continue to read in this chapter for ourselves, we'll get a lot of nuggets out of here. Glory be to God. We got to study this word for ourselves. I know you're coming with a part two, but we got to be always asking God for impartation. Impartation, God. Revelation knowledge, God. Hallelujah. Because we're living in troubled times, and we got to pray. Hallelujah. We got to pray. It's our job to pray. It's our job when we see the waters are troubled, when we see the storms that's going on, the storms in our brothers and sisters' lives, the storms in the people's lives that don't even know God. We got to be the ones to pray to calm the troubled waters. Right?
So that people can get
better. We got to be the ones to pray when the storm is raging. Glory be to God, the warriors.
Hallelujah.
Called by God to pray. Hallelujah. We are God's people, and we got to demonstrate that. Hallelujah, by what we do. We're ambassadors. We're a royal priesthood. We ought to act like a royal priesthood and not like mere tramps and whores out there. Doing everything and being with everybody, doing anything. That's prostitute. That's just being, I call it being nasty. It's nasty. Sin is nasty. It's horrible. It's nasty, Apostle. I know that's raw. I know what I'm saying is raw, but it's the truth. It's just nasty. It's horrible. And we want to flaunt that stuff around. That's not saving nobody. Flaunting it around in the church, flaunting it around when we go places. That's not saved. That's not helping people to get saved. But
that's right.
Look at God, look at the people, and say, why would I even want to go? Why would I even want this Jesus they're talking about? Why would I want to go to that church?
That's right.
When we're acting like them and not the church. So we gotta get ourselves together here. We gotta have a style of holiness. Glory be to God. And I always say that we are Jesus's. We are picked by God. We are chosen by God. We are partners in Christ. We're not just merely human. We are human, but we are also supposed to be a holy temple of the Lord, living by the Spirit, in the Spirit, for the Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we are God. We are partners in Christ. Hallelujah. That's who we are, partners in Christ. And we want to do the will of the Father. We want to do God's business. So I understand from this book of Hosea, the bottom line is, and this is all I'm going to say about it, is that love triumphs over all. Love triumphs. Love, the love of God will help us to leap over, to be joyful, to be peaceful, and to leap over everything, to be able to overcome everything that will try to take us down, that will try to keep us from God's best. We are a triumphant people. We triumph to the Lord, and we triumph all the pettiness. We triumph over all the evil and all the things that the devil shoots at us. We're not going to hold hands with the devil. We're going to keep our hands in the hands of Jesus Christ, and our life is going to demonstrate it. Hosea's life demonstrated it. His life demonstrated it. He didn't run. He stood up. He stood for love. He stood for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Word, such a wonderful word. Hallelujah. And it behooves us to continue to cease seeking the bad. Hallelujah. It'll behoove us to continue to seek God. Be still before the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Stop seeking the bad. Accept reality for what it really is, as it is. And do our best to do all the good we can. Hallelujah. We got to do all the good we can no matter how much bad comes. We still got to do all the good we can. And we can do it through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You see, Jesus teaches us not through what we say, but it is what we do. Jesus did everything that he was about, that he said he was. Right? He did it. He demonstrated.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. He did the work. He didn't just talk about it and do sermons. He didn't teach. He didn't focus on teaching his disciples how to do the best sermon and how to be eloquent in speech and how to he looked up to. No, he was a servant. He showed them how to serve. Hallelujah. He was our best model ever of holiness. There will be no other model that's more holy than Jesus. So he showed us how to practice holiness through our servanthood. He was committed. Hallelujah. So we got to deal with the things in the world. Hallelujah. It's not going to be the way we want it to be, but we got to be like God want us to be. The world is never going to be what it's going to be until God come back, what God wants it to be until he come back here, till Jesus come back. So we just have to accept things, hallelujah, but not fall for the foolishness. We can't fall for the foolishness. And we ask God, Apostle, for more understanding. That's what we need. That's what God's church needs. More understanding so we can live good and holding hands with the devil. Hallelujah. They think we're safe and holding hands with the devil. That is so sad. And, you know, this corrupt communication and all this stuff that goes on, God is still loving his people. All of the corrupt and immorality and all the stuff. What's so wonderful about God's redeeming love? He loves us and he still loves us.
Yes.
He's gonna love him and still throw him in the fire. That's not gonna stop the love when he throws the fire. It don't stop the love when he chastises us. It doesn't stop his love when we mess up. The love still flows. Yes. But we're going to pay. We're going to pay. What you sow, you reap. So I thank God for the word. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I heard it all. Hallelujah. And I just know that this message is about deception, about the deceiver who comes to deceive God's people. He don't have to try to deceive his own. They're already there.
That's right.
We don't have, there's no division with the devil. The devil and his people are holding hands, and they're doing the same work. And I want to say they're on one accord. They're on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing
That's
the
right.
evil. They're doing the thing. But the church is not on one accord. Because the church want to do evil, and they want to look holy. Uh-uh.
Hey,
you can't look holy while you're doing
that's
evil.
It, brother.
My God. You're not on one accord. You're not on one accord. You're not on one accord with God's word. You can't do evil and be on one accord with God's word. No way.
Can't do it. God. It don't work.
Thank God. Thank God. We thank God for this word again today. Hallelujah. It takes God to teach us, to show us the way. Hallelujah. And God had a strange, God taught Hosea in a strange way. Because when I first read that book, I was like, God, what's going on here? I said, oh, my God. I said, this man, I ain't saying no more because I know you're coming with it. Glory be to God. So thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Apostle. I don't want to keep us. I know you got to get
thank
with
you.
Your family and have some family.
Thank you
time.
So much. We thank God. Thank
you're
God
welcome,
for you.
Sir.
And
thank God for you as
and
well.
And our Father, we just thank you for the apostle and for the bishop and the other apostle, the Deacon Fraser, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. And Lord, thank you for the word that you have given us today that has gone forth. And thank you for, oh God, what Apostle Millie has put added to it and what Apostle Washington and the bishop has added to it, Lord Jesus. As somebody would hear something, Lord God, there's a lot of icing on the cake, Lord. Somebody would take a slice, Lord God, today and just run and eat. Oh, God, we pray today for Caleb, oh, God, Caleb in Ghana, Apostle David, our son, oh, God, that has just joined the army. Lord, we pray, Father God, for his protection as he goes out in the field, God, even in his training, God, that no hurt, harm, or danger will befall him, God. And when he go out, oh, God, on the battlefield, God, that he'll get back home safe to his family. Lord, we pray not only for him, but all those that in his battalion. Oh, God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh, God, for you protect the soldiers, protect the police officers, even right here, the governmental officers. And, Lord, we're praying for a turnaround in this nation and all nation, God.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, for everything that they're setting up, all things that they're planning now, they're planning to rig the Supreme Court judges or to pack the judges, oh, God, so that they will be able to sign all of these laws into action, oh, God, that would come against the Word of God, against the Bible. So, Father, we know that you are able, oh, God, and even those that are planning, oh, God, to pack the courts, oh, God, in their favor, Lord, I ask that you remove them, oh, God, before it get worse, oh, God. But, Lord, you said that it will get worse before it get better. It's only going to get better when you come. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you strengthen us, oh, God. Lord, don't take us out of this world. Keep us in this world to do your will, oh, God. Lord, you said you will protect us from evil, oh, God, as we go through this world. And, Lord, we are just faithful enough to continue to praise you, glorify your name, and exalt your name, because we know that you are the lifter of our heads. And, Lord, we pray as we leave this line today, but not your presence, oh, God. We ask that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, oh, God, and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, oh, God. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And, Father, we ask, oh, God, that you help me to find this number, Lord, that I can't find because it's in the old phone. I don't know why it didn't come back in the new form, but Lord, help me to find this number. I called my friend and see if they could send me the number so we can make this money to help our people, Lord God. We're praying, Father God. Because,
yes,
Lord, you know, I only ask that you help me to help those that are less fortunate than us, oh God. We're not focusing on our Rolls Royce. We're not focusing on our Bentley. Lord, what we are focusing on is souls. Oh, God, we are focusing on winning souls, God. And we pray, oh, God, that you put people in position to hear this word, to hear every word that go forth over this church line, oh, God, that they are not just the hearers, oh, God, but they become doers. Even those that are dibbing and dabbing in witchcraft in Africa and even here in America, when they hear the subjects that are coming from this church line, Lord, let the word be a sickle to their soul, be a machete to their soul, to cut them going and cut them coming, that they'll be convicted enough to say, no, I am not going to live, continue to minister the way I was ministering, oh God, because your life is their ministry. And Lord, their life is not declaring that you are Lord. We pray, Father God, today that you will convict us all, oh God, to live even better. Live a much better life,
yes,
a life that will give you glory in everything that we say and everything that we do. Father, we ask you to protect our emotions, oh God. Lord, we ask you to protect our emotions, that we will not allow people to affect us emotionally, Lord God, but we'll be able to look at them and see that they need what we have, oh God. Father, we just thank you right now. We praise you, oh God. We ask you to watch over Prophetess Misha, Lord. She's gone so far down. We ask you to pull her up, Lord God. Pull her up, Lord. Let her know that it's not about stuff. That stuff will come and stuff will go. Material things will come and material things will go. Houses will come and houses will go. Cars will come and cars will go. Even money will come and money will go, Father God. Lord, we ask, God, but you stand. You stand forever. You are the God that sits high and sees low. We ask, God, that you reach way down in the Mary Claire, like you reached down for me and you pulled me out of that Mary Claire. When I was living in hell, God, you came all the way down in hell to pull me out of hell, oh God. You didn't allow me to burn up. And Father, don't allow her to burn up. Don't allow anybody to burn up, Lord. We ask you to reach down, Lord God, because you are God of mercy. You are God of grace. And you are God that is full of love and compassion. Lord, you say, well, love and kindness have you drawn us, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you help us to look beyond others' faults and see their needs, Lord God. Lord, they may be critical of us, Lord God, but we're not going to be critical of them because we have the love of Christ, oh God, because we have your love in our hearts. We're not going to be critical. Lord, we're going to allow them to see you in us, because if we're critical, Lord, we just become just like them, oh God. But Lord, we're going to allow them to see you in us, so we're going to show love. We're going to show compassion, Lord. We're going to show mercy. And we are going to still stay holy in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We are not going to step out of the realm that we are in and step down to that level. We are not going to step down to where we end up having sex and committing adultery and committing fornication and stealing, lying, and cheating. Oh God, we're going to stay on that realm that you put us on, oh God. And we ask you to continue to keep your arms around us, oh God, and we'll be safe in Jesus' holy name. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak into somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or even sodomizing a child. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that your life, it becomes your mess, your ministry. Your life now will begin to speak instead of your mouth speaking, but the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself will become a message to whoever see or hear you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, I love you guys so much, but I want you to know that Jesus loves you more. How do I know that? Because he's the one that went to the cross, not me. Hallelujah. I will talk to you all later. God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you. Keep Apostle.
Bless you all.
Keep Apostle Millie. Bless you all. Keep Apostle Millie's sister in prayer. Oh, God, keep her in prayer, okay? Okay?
Yes,
and keep Apostle Millie in prayer. Keep Apostle Millie in prayer, too.
Yes.
We keep each other in prayer because the enemy comes to sift us like wheat. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So let us keep each other in prayer. God bless you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Well, thanks for the word. Amen.
You're welcome. Thank you, Apostle. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Amen. Bye-bye.